This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, where we talk about the biggest stories from across Texas. School choice has new momentum in the Texas legislature, plus shocking new reports showing Communist China's influence in Texas public schools. I'm Brandon Waltons, and this is The Headline. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and thank you for joining us on this episode of The Headline, where we're going to go over some of the big stories happening in Texas this week, not the least of which has been the movement for school choice growing in Texas. Earlier this week, you had the House Committee on Public Education hold a meeting where school choice was a big topic, a lot of folks coming down to testify on it. And to talk about it, we've got State Representative Brian Harrison, who's joining us from a ALEC conference in Atlanta. Representative Harrison, thank you so much for joining.
Great to be with you this afternoon.
So you're a little bit new. You were elected in a special election, so you've gotten to see a little bit of the legislature so far. You're going into this next session where school choice, there's been a lot of talk about that in the next session, that the legislature might do something on it. First of all, why is this an issue that, you know, you've been out there championing?
Well, my goodness. I mean, I'm honored. You mentioned I'm new. I am. I was just elected last year in a special election, and I'm very honored to represent about 200,000 Texans in the Texas legislature. And it's one of the issues I hear about the most frequently when I'm out there talking to the folks that I'm honored to represent. I mean, look, after the last 2 years of COVID and after the actions of the liberal teachers unions and the indoctrination that has been going on coast to coast in the United States of America, there is a whole movement afoot. I mean, the special interests used to control the education monopoly in America, and we have seen, rightfully so, fissures crack in that. And there's sort of a new special interest in town, and that's parents. And I know there was recently a hearing on this, and I think the amount of parents that, you know, took the time out of their very busy day while their kids are, you know, they should be playing with their kids over the summer. They're down in Austin testifying on the need to empower parents with school choice. I agree with other conservative leaders in the state of Texas, like Ted Cruz, who characterized the issue of parental empowerment as a civil rights issue of our time. I couldn't agree more. We owe it as Texans who believe in freedom. We should be leading not just on education freedom, but on all the other freedoms. And we've got state after state empowering their parents. And it's unfortunate that Texas has not been out there leading. I mean, Arizona just passed a comprehensive bill. They're sort of lapping the field. But I do think next session is the time that the Texas legislature finally empowers parents with school choice.
Yeah, I was going to mention that Arizona certainly is the state that's gotten a lot of attention for it in recent weeks for passing their sweeping school choice bill. You've been meeting with other state legislators from other states. Have you gotten to talk a little bit with anybody about that Arizona legislation?
Yeah, I absolutely have. In fact, I was at a meeting with the Arizona legislator who was probably largely or the most responsible for getting that actually passed. And it's probably one of the biggest topics of discussion when I'm talking to state legislators from all across the country at the conference. I'm here in Atlanta. Look, we have had so many example after example of the educational bureaucracy not working to educate kids, but working to indoctrinate them and working to silence parents. And when the National School Board Association colluded with the Biden administration to, I mean, shockingly weaponize federal law enforcement against parents who had done nothing more than show up and speak out about COVID mandates and CRT in their schools. I mean, that has caused parents whose eyes, maybe pre-COVID, maybe when they were all going into the office 5 days a week and maybe when their kids were in school, but they were home, their kids were home, they were looking on the computer, they were looking on the iPads, they got a taste of what was going on in some of these government-run monopoly systems, and they've said, you know what, we've had it, and so I think it's the most important thing we can do. Not for the wealthy. I mean, let's be very clear about this. A lot of opponents of school choice paint this as some kind of a thing that will only help, you know, rich families or rich kids. That's ridiculous. Rich families have and enjoy school choice right now. The biggest beneficiaries across the state of Texas would be poor kids who come from poor families who are trapped in failing ISDs, who place more emphasis on indoctrination than they do on education. We've got to give those families a chance to give their kids the thing that matters the absolute most, and that's a quality education. where when they turn 18 and they get that diploma placed in their hand, they are equipped with skills that they can go and market to provide for themselves and for their family. Texas should be leading on this issue, and I think we're going to get there next session.
Mm-hmm. One of the criticisms you sometimes hear from, I would say, even people on the right is that, you know, if we had a school choice program, perhaps that would open a door for more government involvement in homeschooling, for example. What's your reaction to that?
Well, look, it's a concern that I don't take lightly, and I'm really sympathetic to it. I mean, there may be few people in a elected office more suspicious of government activity and government being involved in things than I am. Before joining the legislature, I was the chief of staff of the largest cabinet agency and regulatory body on the world. I have done battle in the biggest swamp on Earth, Washington, D.C., against federal government overreach. So I'm very sensitive to that. But the issue here on that is a couple thoughts on that. One, if we don't do something, if we don't take action right now to stop the liberal indoctrination that is in fact happening, within a generation, the left is going to own all the levers of power in government. And I would go further and say they will probably outlaw conservative educations. They could make homeschooling illegal in the state of Texas. And then the other thing is that for a state to act, it's a little bit different than for the federal government to act. One of the biggest areas of concern with that argument, it's sort of the camel's nose under the tent argument, which is we should always have our guard up whenever government's proposing to solve anything, because government solutions often are worse than the problems they're trying to solve. Mm-hmm. But that's primarily an argument against federal government actions, because the federal government under our Constitution doesn't have the authority to act, quite frankly, in most of the ways that it does. The way it does it is it lures people in by giving them the carrot of money, and then they come by with behind that with the stick of bad regulations. In the state of Texas, we don't need sort of a carrot and stick approach. If a future legislature wants to enact some really heinous education reforms or policies, it won't matter if we had been funding through the parents private education options. A future legislature could require CRT. A future legislature could require only public school attendance, and it would really be immaterial, and it just wouldn't matter if we had a school choice program. So while I'm sensitive to the fear, I really think they're unfounded. And any pro school choice legislation that I think is likely to get passed, we should have, and I believe will have, robust protections for homeschool families. I do not want a single additional government regulation coming along with this, but what I do want is parents to be empowered to choose the time, manner, location, and manner in which their kids are educated that are consistent with their values, that will focus on traditional educations, reading, writing, arithmetic, history, economics, so that they're prepared to go out and earn a living in a marketplace and be productive members of the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Looking at the math, frankly, right? So you look at some school choice efforts that have happened in the past, 2 years ago, 4 years ago in the legislature. On the votes we've seen, which frankly, there hasn't been very many, but on the last vote we've seen, you had, I believe over 100 members, most Democrats, actually a majority of Republicans voting against school choice in sort of a test vote on the subject. That was just in 2021, so a year and a half ago. Do you think from your conversations maybe with members or with leadership that there's gonna be a substantial change this session?
I think there has to be, and I do think we're seeing the movement shift. I mean, COVID happened, we've had another year and a half of people experiencing what happens when you don't have alternatives, when competition is not allowed to do its job. I mean, it shouldn't be surprising, that absent competition, absent ready alternatives, liberal ISDs like those in Austin are able to suboptimally allocate resources and pay for highly sexualized drag queen performers for second graders instead of more math tutors. And right now we've got a situation in the state of Texas where only about 35% of Texas students are at proficiency standards on arithmetic. That's got to change. And then one other sign of things changing, I think, is my own election. This issue was the central, the defining issue in my campaign in a mostly rural district south of the Dallas area. And, it has a seat that had been held by opponents of school choice. And the same organizations, the liberal special interests, the taxpayer-funded lobbying organizations, they came out in force using the tactics that have historically worked to defeat people like me who want to empower parents. And they were, shall we say, not successful. I won by 11 points, championing unapologetically my desire to empower parents with school choice in a mostly rural district. I think the tide is turning, and I think parents are awake like they've never been before. And in our most recent ballot, when this was put on the ballot in March, for Republican primary voters to say, do you want school choice or not? That passed almost 9-1. And even if you look at the 10 most rural districts, it was around 85 to 90% support. So Republican voters want it. It's the conservative issue. This is the freedom issue. This is the liberty issue. You can align yourself with those who want to focus on education and freedom and liberty and let competition do its job. Or you can align yourself with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Beto O'Rourke and the people who want mask mandates and they want CRT and they want indoctrination in the school. If you are a conservative Republican in the state of Texas, you are duty bound at this point to do the right thing by the 30 million Texans that we are honored to serve and give the parents the chance to be in the driver's seat finally on their kids' education. There may be no more important domestic issue facing us right now.
We're going to be following it closely. Thank you so much, Representative, for joining us.
Great to be with you.
Well, as Texas parents have been fighting for more involvement in their education, the communist government of China has already been influencing public education in Texas. The Texas Scorecard Investigations Team has been hard at work for months uncovering China's influence in Texas institutions. This week, releasing a four-part series put out by Kristen Stanchu, exposing China's influence in public education in Texas. Not just universities, but also K-12. Here to talk about that, we have Robert Montoya. Robert, this is such a shocking report, and it's very detailed, and I encourage everybody to go to texasscorecard.com and read this, because this is something I think a lot of people don't realize is happening in Texas.
Yes, correct. A lot of people, I think, are generally aware that, you know, the communist Chinese government has, of course, intentions of trying to influence politics around the globe.
Sure.
But, you know, thanks to the great work Christian spearheaded, what we've discovered is not only has communist China come to Texas, but has successfully infiltrated our education system in the state.
And the method they're doing this are Confucius Institutes, right, at institutions of higher education, but also Confucius classrooms. I want to talk about those Confucius Institutes first. What are those?
So Confucius Institutes, as you said, they target higher education. Through our investigation, we found that there have been Confucius Institutes at Texas A&M, Texas Southern University, University of Texas at Dallas, and others. What these were marketed as to universities was, you know, we are sharing and exporting to you Chinese language and culture. Mm-hmm. Seems innocuous because any university you go to, there are all kinds of study abroad programs for countries in Europe, countries in Asia. I participated in a study abroad program in Japan.
Sure.
But what we've uncovered is that what these Confucius Institutes do is they open up these universities to CCP money, indoctrination materials, and also open relationships between them and universities in China that the Australian Strategic Policy Institute found had levels of risk varying from low to high.
And I love this quote here. I think this really sums it up from one of the articles in this series. You had former Chinese President Hu Jintao saying that the Confucius Institute was a way to, quote, increase our Communist Party of China influence around the world. And that's what they're doing. And they're not just doing it in universities, but they're also doing it in secondary schools as well.
Correct. So through Confucius classrooms, the other method through which the CCP infiltrated our education system, those target K-12 schools. And we found, you know, the presence of these at school districts like Coppell Independent School District, Northeast Independent School District. And we also found, it was interesting, we found a Confucius Institute at the Houston Independent School District. Mm-hmm. Now, over time, what we learned, thanks to our open records requests and also open records requests from the National Association of Scholars, is that a number of these have closed, but what's happened is the CCP had got wind of the fact that a lot of people were becoming alarmed, mm-hmm. saying these are security risks. So there's been a rebranding effort. Mm-hmm. So at universities, you've had Confucius Institutes transformed into Chinese Institutes. And a lot of school districts have kept Confucius classrooms going by creating new networks, mm-hmm. working with third parties that are friendly to the CCP.
Right. And yet at the same time, as one of these articles goes into, they haven't really stopped taking money from China. They're still involved in other grants, other programs as well, which is troubling, to say the least.
Or in the way that, you know, the way the rebrand marketing effort currently works is the funding may not come directly from the CCP, but like reroute through third parties. Mm-hmm. So it's not a direct paper trail. The CCP has been trying to adapt to continue their efforts.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's shocking to see what this is happening. What universities is this happening in?
So like we said, we found these at Texas Southern University. We found them at Texas A&M, University of Texas, Dallas, University of Texas, San Antonio are among them. And while we've said before, a number of them have closed, we've tried to follow up to get confirmation. We've sent mm-hmm. open records requests seeking letters, and those are still uncoming back. We're still waiting for official confirmation because someone publicly said, yeah, they're gone. And we said, well, let's have the confirmation. Mm-hmm. We're waiting on those.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting to see just how opaque some of these the school districts or the universities themselves have been in releasing some of this information, which might suggest that they're a little more there. You mentioned y'all have been spending months looking at China's influence in Texas's institutions. We've, of course, got the series up on public education now, but can you give us a little bit of maybe a preview of what's down the pipeline?
Well, all I can say is that throughout this investigation and in the coming weeks, I think people will be shocked to find that it wasn't just education the CCP successfully infiltrated. There are multiple layers with which they have infiltrated our state, and people are going to be shocked as we expose them.
Oh, we're looking forward to those coming out in the next, the upcoming weeks. Thank you so much, Robert. If you haven't checked it out already, go to texasscorecard.com and you can see all four parts of the Communist China's in Texas influence in public education, the whole series we have on that subject. You can check it out again at texasscorecard.com. I want to thank everybody for watching. If you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and hit like, hit subscribe, hit that notification bell so you always know when we go live here at Texas Scorecard. We've got a number of great shows here, not just this one, right? We've got the Cambry Show. We've got a new Conversations and interview series up on our YouTube page as well. And so we encourage you to check those out. For right now, thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline. You can watch the premiere of The Headline on our website at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you like today's production, please consider subscribing and leaving a review on whatever podcasting platform you listen on.